ओम ज्ञान त्रिरंध्रस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
In the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, there are many valuable instructions. One of the sentences there is, at least what appears to me, one of the most important statements in all of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Just try to think, how important is this statement? Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon what? Not exactly in what you do, although what we do in Krishna service is very important. But more important than anything is our attitude. Do we actually want to please Krishna? Now, we always encourage devotees to perform as much service as they can, because service is the very essence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means devotional service. We find that many scholars translate the word bhakti as devotion, but Srila Prabhupada translated it as devotional service. Just to stress the point that devotion means service. It is not simply a feeling. Anyone can say, I love Krishna, but that will be manifested by our service to Krishna. To give an example, a man comes home from work. His wife is there to greet him at home. And the wife repeatedly says to her husband, I love you. I love you so much. I love you. So the husband said, well, that's very nice. By the way, what did you prepare for dinner today? He said, well, I didn't cook anything. I love you very much. I just love you, that's all. Now, I was just loving you so much that I was so absorbed in loving you that I didn't think about cooking anything for you. So what kind of love is that? The husband might say, well, better you didn't love me and you cooked something for me. And if she had cooked something, then she wouldn't have to say I love you, because it's obvious by the service. So devotion is manifested as service. And Prabhupada writes that Krishna consciousness depends upon the advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. And Prabhupada writes elsewhere that the spiritual master trains the disciple in a service attitude. We've been talking a lot about sadhana, but we also have to see service attitude. We're not only doing sadhana. Sadhana is the important basis of our Krishna conscious lives. We have so many services to perform for Krishna also. And all these different services, they're also part of our sadhana, in the sense that we have to prepare ourselves for going to the spiritual world. And what do you do in the spiritual world? You have to serve Krishna. And it's not like you have to serve Krishna. There's someone standing there ready to beat you if you don't serve him.
There's no temple commanders.
But all the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they naturally, spontaneously want to serve Krishna. They're always engaged in some service to Krishna. So that is the qualification for entering the spiritual world, that we have developed our natural service attitude towards Krishna. So service is required and a service attitude is required. Now, it may be that we're externally engaged in service, but internally we have other motives. That's why we have to have, the service has to be there, but the attitude has to be proper also. Almost Krishna consciousness with mixed motives, as Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritano arjuna arto jigyaso artharti jnani cha bharatarshabha. Krishna says that four kinds of people take up worshipping me. There is the person who is distressed. He prays to Krishna for relief from distress. There's the person who is curious. He's not actually surrendered to Krishna, but he has some interest. He finds it fascinating. There is someone who is in need of money. Dear God, give me money. There is another type who is in knowledge of Krishna's opulence and therefore takes up worshiping him. Now, mostly people take up the worship of God or take up Krishna consciousness because they are distressed or in need of money, especially in the modern age. Now, when we take to Krishna consciousness, we soon learn about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That actually, real happiness only comes by fully surrendering to Krishna, which means giving up all material motives. And at least those devotees who take up Krishna consciousness seriously, they accept this understanding that we have to become pure devotees of Krishna, free from all material motives. However, the reality which we should not forget is that we are not pure devotees. And even while we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we have dedicated ourselves to the highest ideal and we have That is our aim and object, our aspiration to come to the level of the highest ideal. But still, we are contaminated by material attachments, lack of surrender to Krishna, false pride, desire for name and fame. There are so many different anarthas or unwanted things. And these material attachments, they may be very deeply rooted in the heart. Even though we take up Krishna consciousness, when we take up Krishna consciousness, we give up our gross attachments. We give up sinful life. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And we lead a very pure life. Rise early, chant the holy names of Krishna, study the shastras. So on the external platform, our way of life is very, very pure. But within our heart, there are still so many dirty things. Some of these we can perceive very easily, such as continued attraction or sexual enjoyment. Some of these anarthas, they may be very subtle and very deep-rooted. We may not even recognize them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the development in, he compared development in devotional service to the development of a creeper. This is called the Bhakti Lata. Lata means creeper. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes Ita Brahmanda Vari Ananta Jivagan Chaurashi Lakka Jonite Kariye Brahman. He describes that there are unlimited living beings who are rotating within 84 lakh species of life within the universe, 8,400,000 species. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. And of those among the unlimited living beings, a few who are very fortunate may receive the creeper, the seed of the creeper of devotion by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Now, exactly how that good fortune is attained, that has been analyzed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Good luck is not simply arbitrary. It means people who have had some touch with devotional service previously, they get the seed of devotion planted in their hearts. Wake up, please. So it can be understood that somehow or other, all of us who are here present, we are very fortunate. No one can measure our good fortune. That even though we may be very neophyte devotees, even though we may be struggling with our mind and senses, just by the fact that we are trying to chant Hare Krishna, we are the most fortunate people in the universe. We are more fortunate than Indra and the demigods. What to speak of Boris Yeltsin, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates. They are not very important people. You are all important people because you are chanting Hare Krishna. So we are very, very fortunate. We have received the seed of devotional service within our hearts. Now, if you get a seed, what do you have to do? The process of agriculture means cultivation. And the most basic process of cultivation is watering. So we have to give the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shebij male kare aropan, shravan kirtan adi jale kare shechan. That seed, the devotee is compared to a gardener who cares for that seed. So having planted that seed within the heart, we have to water it with the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Now, when a plant starts to grow up, there are other activities the agriculturalist has to do. Because when you put the water, not only the plant will come up, but so many weeds will also come up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described some of the weeds, the allegorical weeds, that obstruct the growth of the plant of devotional service.
Nisheda cha kutinati jiber hingshan lava puja pratishta chata upashakogan.
He says that performing sinful activities or forbidden activities, this is a description of the weeds or the activities that hinder our progress. So not performing sinful activities. Just like someone is asking, well, is it all right? We can chant 16 rounds and follow some of the regulated principles. Not according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the time of initiation, we promise to follow 4 regulated principles, not 3. Or sometimes we hear devotees say 3.5. I never understood what that half was. Either you're following or you're not following. So
to say, yes, I'm also a devotee, but I just have some little weakness. I'm smoking cigarettes. And it's a kind of cheating process, self-cheating. And if you propagate that, actually, it's all right. You can also smoke cigarettes, and Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. This is cheating. Then kutinati. Kutinati means diplomatic behavior. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that saralata, or simplicity, is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. Two seats just became vacant here. Someone wants to take them. So what does this simplicity mean? It doesn't mean that a devotee is a fool, but it means his attitude is very simple. Simply he accepts there is Krishna, I have to serve him. Not very complicated. So many different mental confabulations. Sometimes we find devotees, they have so many complicated questions. And Prabhupada said there are two kinds of questions. One kind of question is to understand Krishna. Another kind of question is to avoid Krishna. Some kind of question to establish a doubt. How can all the universes come out of the body of Mahavishnu? How is that possible? It just sounds like fairy stories. How can you say that Lord Ramachandra lived more than 1,000,000 years ago? When everyone knows that, you know, more than 3,000 years ago, there was no civilization. So there may be some, this kind of question that, yes, I'm a devotee, but what about this? What about, always trying to present some doubt. Now, there may be doubts. The whole Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna expressing his doubts to Krishna and Krishna clearing them. But along with Arjuna's doubts was an implicit faith in Krishna. His doubt was on the platform that I'm doubting because I'm a fool. Therefore, I can't understand, and therefore I should get the answer from Guru. So with that attitude, doubts can be cleared very easily. But if someone is questioning with it, I have a doubt because I'm so damned intelligent. And this Guru guy, you know, who the hell is he? He doesn't really know what he's talking about. You see, now I'm going to catch him out. And so this kind of questioning will not help you to understand Krishna. So saralata means the simplicity to accept, yes, Krishna is great. I'm his servant. And kutinati means a kind of diplomacy by which someone presents himself as a devotee, but he has some other desire to fulfill. He presents himself that, yes, I'm a very nice devotee so that people may respect me or people may give me donations, then I can live a very comfortable life. He's more interested in making a show of being a devotee to fulfill his material desires than in actually cleaning the heart and surrendering to Krishna. Then jiva hingshan, cruelty to others. Devotee's heart naturally must be very soft. That is another test of advancement in devotional service. Devotee cannot be hard-hearted. Devotee is naturally very soft. He may be hard as a thunderbolt, but you see, in the behavior of great personalities, sometimes they're as hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. So in preaching and cutting all the nonsense ideas, he may be hard as a thunderbolt, but basically a devotee is very soft-hearted. So certainly in preaching, there is a place for strong, cutting preaching. That is also required. But if in the name of preaching, someone dovetails his propensity to be nasty to others, that is not Krishna consciousness. These are all weeds on the path that choke up the actual creeper of devotion to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described other weeds. Labh, puja, pratishta, all the desires for gaining wealth, the desire to be honored and worshipped. This is a very subtle contamination. Devotee is naturally humble, who's actually a devotee. But if someone's actually developing devotional service and cultivating devotional service, gradually others will come to notice that. And out of natural respect, they will start to honor him. And within our organization, ISKCON, because it's an organization, some people have to take leadership positions. Although all devotees are servants of Krishna, some are designated as temple president, sannyasi, guru, and the etiquette and the natural inclination of other devotees is to glorify and respect such devotees. But if a devotee becomes attached to such respect, then he's in Maya, that's all. Or someone may think that, you know, I've been in this room for 10 years now and no one made me a temple president. They're not respecting me enough. Why don't they respect me? So this is very dangerous. Actually, this sannyas ashram, it's intrinsically, by its nature, it's not very conducive for Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's very good because you have no you're not supposed to cultivate any material attachments and free from all those things. But you see, wherever sannyasi goes, people will bow down. If they don't bow down, the sannyasi will think, why don't they bow down? And they offer money. So unless the sannyasi is actually renounced within his heart, he offers everything to Guru and Krishna and thinks that actually I'm the most rascal, but I've been offered this service. Even though I'm not qualified, someone has to lead and guide the other devotees. He should actually feel these devotees are coming, they're disciples. Actually, they're much more advanced than me. But in that way, a sannyasi and a guru or anyone in any position of authority can remain safe in service to Krishna. But if he takes some kind of material pleasure in that being offered respect, then he's in a very, very dangerous position. So there are many such subtle contaminations in the heart, and we may not even recognize them. We may think, yes, I'm not attached to all this respect and honor, but actually we are. It may seem to us that this is Krishna Bhakti, but it isn't. We think we've cheated ourselves that we're doing everything, that we're offering everything for Krishna. So we have to look very deeply into our hearts and examine, are we actually doing everything for Krishna? Or are we concerned with our own material name and fame? Are we more interested in making a show of being a devotee? Are we taking pleasure in others praising us? Oh, what a great devotee. You see, it's very easy to get into making a show of being a devotee. We know that if we speak in a humble manner and offer a lot of obeisances and all the things, we know how to act in such a way that people will think we're a good devotee because we're attached to that being considered a good devotee. But really in our hearts, do we really want to please Krishna? Are we really surrendered to Krishna? We should have a look and see. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further described that the plant that is growing, Bhakti Lata, that can be very, all of a sudden, destroyed, even though you look after it very carefully. But if a wild elephant runs into the garden, all the plants you've been looking after, he'll just uproot them and destroy them quickly. So in the same way, offenses, they can very quickly destroy all the advancement that we have made. But generally, we all make offenses. We're inattentive while chanting. There's so many offenses due to our neophyte position. But of course, we shouldn't cultivate it. We should be very careful to try to be inoffensive. But you see, even offenses to Krishna, we can be cleared from by chanting the name of Krishna. We constantly have to pray to Krishna to be, please forgive me for my offenses. Like a child may make so many faults and mistakes, but as long as he's trying to be a good child, parents will be considerate and overlook the offenses. However, there is one kind of offense which is compared to a mad elephant which destroys our devotional progress immediately. That is called the Vaishnav Aparad, or offenses towards devotees. Krishna even forgives offenses to himself. But if we offend devotees, then everything is finished. Now, this should make us afraid when we hear this. Because in the course of social intercourse among devotees, so many things are said and done. And even accidentally, we may say something sometimes which we're not even aware, but the other devotee becomes upset. There may be so many misunderstandings, or due to false ego, we say something which we shouldn't say. No, that's inevitable. But we should be very careful. You see, there may be misunderstandings, but we should be very careful not to make any attitude of enmity between devotees. And daily we should beg devotees for forgiveness for all offenses knowingly and unknowingly committed, and offer our respects to the devotees by chanting, Pancha kalpatarubhya shakripa sindhu patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. So these are what we, in the course of ordinary social intercourse, there may be incidental offenses. Just like, for instance, this devotee is repeatedly standing up here, and his idea is to make a nice video, but maybe he's not thinking all the people behind him. We're not so happy with that. These things can happen. We have to be very careful what we do. We always have to be considerate of others. We have to be very careful about adopting a grossly offensive attitude towards devotees. Slightly offensive or grossly offensive, any offensive attitude. We have to be very careful not to adopt an offensive attitude towards devotees. It's very easy to find faults in others. I know, I'm expert at it. I've had many years of practice. But But actually, this is not helpful to our devotional advancement. Actually, a guru's duty is to find faults in his disciples. But it's not everybody's duty to find faults in everybody else. If we adopt this mentality, it's very difficult for us to make advancement. Krishna won't be pleased. Mm-hmm. Our whole aim and object is to satisfy Krishna. But whatever else we do, if we're envious of Vaishnavas, Krishna won't be pleased. I have seen devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely, and they listen to some Vaishnava Parama. Even to listen to it is very dangerous, in which one person is vehemently criticizing a devotee, and they say, you see, this is his fault, and that is the fault, and this is another fault. And what happens is, if you hear that, you develop a hateful attitude. This is one of Maya's most nasty tricks. Instead of glorifying and loving the Vaishnavas, we become hateful towards them. We don't want to do service anymore. And they say, oh, this Krishna conscious world is very bad. It's all rascaldom. It's all cheating. They become like crazy people. And all the whatever taste they had for the holy name and associated with devotees is all spoiled. We should be very, very careful not to indulge in Vaishnava Parama. Even the points of criticism, there may be truth in them. That may be. But it's not everybody's business to find the truth. Just like there may be some leader of our movement and there is some point of concern in his behavior. There may be. And even everybody may see that. But it's not everybody's business to accuse him. That is for his peers, not his juniors. In this regard, I would like to relate a small story in which one godbrother of mine had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. So many people are claiming to have dreams of Prabhupada, and we don't take them all seriously. There are some pretty funny dreams. But Prabhupada said, the spiritual master, if he appears in a dream and gives a relevant instruction, that may be accepted as being real. So this devotee, I used to meet him from time to time, and when I met him, he would complain about one of the leaders in our movement. So one time I met this devotee, and the devotee told me that he had a dream in which he was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he was making his complaints against the leader of our society. That Prabhupada, do you know he does this? Prabhupada didn't deny it. He simply said, that's all right. But Prabhupada, did you know he also does this? Prabhupada said, that's all right. But do you know there was this incident in which he did this and that and he said this? Prabhupada said, that's all right. So whatever he said, all these terrible accusations, all these horrible things he's doing. And Prabhupada simply said, that's all right. That's all right. Prabhupada didn't deny. Then that devotee noticed he was sitting on the same level as Prabhupada. So the devotee told me then when he woke up, he had the realization that he was sitting on the level of Prabhupada means he was trying to take Prabhupada's position. That whatever apparent fault may have been there, that was Prabhupada's job to rectify that devotee. It wasn't his junior godbrother's job. And sometimes we may feel frustrated in our movements. Because sometimes it seems that leaders, they do things, and why are they allowed to do things? Sometimes it seems strange. Sometimes, not always. But actually, Prabhupada was very supportive of his leaders. He knew that it's very easy to criticize leaders, but to actually take up that service of leading others is very difficult. And Prabhupada would often tolerate many discrepancies with the aim to gradually rectify someone. Prabhupada gave the example of a hospital. If someone comes in with different sicknesses, there's one very quick, easy way to get rid of all the sicknesses. You give them an injection and kill them, and all the sicknesses are finished. But the real thing is to take the trouble to rectify them. That may take some time. So our real process is to rectify and reform, not to reject. We say, well, this devotee is so bad, this, that, but at least they're chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone in this material world is bad. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness, you can't expect that they're going to become Rupa Goswami overnight. Once in India, one life member came to Prabhupada and he complained. You see, you're bringing these devotees from America and they're outside your room, they're fighting. Prabhupada said, are you surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna. See, anyway, they would have been fighting, whether Bhaktivedanta Swami had gone to the West or not, they would have been fighting. So that's their bad habit, they're fighting. But when they finish fighting, they pick up their bead bags and chant Hare Krishna. So at least they're making some progress. So don't make offenses to Vaishnavas. Don't fight with Vaishnavas. Don't take that as an excuse to fight with Vaishnavas. Bhaktivikas Swami said it's all right to fight with Vaishnavas as long as you chant Hare Krishna afterwards. I didn't say that. Don't fight with Vaishnavas. But even if you see some apparent fault in Vaishnavas, at least see that All right, at least they're chanting Hare Krishna. Avoid making offenses, especially to Vaishnavas. Try to serve Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Dear Guru Maharaj, during yesterday's lecture, you said that we should avoid those devotees who are envious of us or obstruct us from our spiritual progress. Can you dwell on this?
I don't actually remember saying that directly. But it may be that in the society of devotees, we may find that the association of some devotees is not as conducive as that of others. So we should respect all devotees. We should especially try to associate with those who inspire us and help us advance in devotional service more. It's a simple principle to understand. Some other question? Very nice handwriting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated Rupa Goswami's nice handwriting. Then what's the question?
What glorifies a devotee at the beginning of devotional service? If it is said that without glorifying one's heart fully, it's impossible to chant the name.
Yeah, there are levels of devotional service. Actually, if we really want to speak about bhakti, bhakti really begins when our heart is completely purified. Or if we want to speak about a Vaishnava, a real Vaishnava is someone who is 100% surrendered to Krishna. But still, even devotional service performed in the neophyte stage, that may also be called bhakti. It's not full-fledged bhakti, but it is the beginnings of bhakti. Just like a young chick just hatched from the egg, that is also a bird. Really, when we think of a bird, we think of a full-grown bird. But still, we make a differentiation. We say a duck and a duckling,
at least in English.
Peacock and a pea chick.
You have words like that also?
Eagle, eaglet. So it's understood that the eaglet is also an eagle. Still, there's some differentiation. It's not yet full-fledged. That word full-fledged means it actually comes from the... Anyway, this is... linguistics. So in the same way, devotional service in the beginning stages means some purification is there. And just the fact that we've taken that up and we're accepted by a spiritual master means that we are on the path to purification. Purification is certainly there by anyone who takes up devotional service at any level. It's not that chanting Hare Krishna, that's also accepted by Krishna, even in the neophyte stage. But to be fully accepted by Krishna, we have to be fully purified. There are degrees and levels also. Who asked that question?
Why is it so important to wear spiritual clothes?
That also, you see, what we do externally also affects our internal consciousness. When a policeman dresses in uniform, then that uniform also gives him a sense of identity, which helps him to execute his task. See, for instance, wearing jeans, there's a whole cultural psyche which goes with that. There's a whole cultural way of thinking that goes with that.
Oh.
And you identify with the culture that goes with that. Actually, Prabhupada, he always preferred devotees to dress in Vaishnava dress. But he also approved that devotees could wear kami clothes if necessary, if they had to do a job or sometimes for preaching. But he said that if devotees are going to dress in the karmic clothes, they should dress just like a gentleman with a suit and with nice tie and they should dress very nicely. Prabhupada was concerned that our devotees be accepted as respectable people in society. Apart from that, wearing tilak and tulsi neck beads, that has specific distinct spiritual significance, which you can read about in the Nectar of Devotion. This is the dress of the spiritual world. There's no Levi jeans in Vaikuntha, nor Wranglers, nor anything like that. There's dhotis and saris. So if you're attached to wear Levi jeans, you can't even go to the heavenly planets, let alone Vaikuntha. So we might as well get ourselves accustomed to the spiritual world if we want to go there.
If we get up early.
If we get up early? Why if?
How
why even question? Just get up early, that's all.
Next question.
To what extent can Krishna understand anything? For individual cases, you have to ask Krishna. I'm not Krishna, you don't know. But his basic attitude is that he dislikes it more than anything else. Krishna doesn't tolerate.
To get rid of false motives that are present in the beginning of spiritual path, is it necessary to follow the devotional service? Or there are some other extra means.
This is a very good question. Thank you for asking this. Simply mechanically following, that will not help us very much. That I mentioned, we have to introspectively look into our hearts, pray to Krishna to help us. Apart from that, there is Guru, who will point out to you what a rascal you are. Maybe not directly, in subtle ways. Also, we see in Chaitanya Shikamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has recommended a process, different processes for getting rid of anarthas. That's Shikshamrita. Bengali, it's written in Bengali. Bengali pronunciation is Shikamrita. Recommended how to get rid of different anarthas, saying that the different demons that Krishna killed, they represent different anarthas. So by meditating on these different pastimes of Krishna and killing the demons, Krishna and Balaram killing the demons, and by praying to Krishna and Balaram, we can be freed from the anarthas. That's another whole seminar in itself. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj has given this seminar. I think maybe also Purnachandra, definitely Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. Well, we don't really have time to get into it now. Mercy means, mercy is towards juniors. It means those who have come to Krishna consciousness after us who have less understanding. And mercy means to act in such a way that others may be elevated in Krishna consciousness by giving instructions, by encouraging, by giving prasad. This is giving mercy. Just exactly what it says. It's quite straightforward. Having such an attitude may not be so easy, but the meaning of it is very clear. We're so much accustomed to wanting ourselves to be respected and disrespecting others that we may wonder how it is possible to offer respects to others and not desire respect for ourselves. How to look inside your heart. You do that. You examine what are your motives. What do you really want? Do you really want to serve Krishna, or do you want to get some facility from Krishna?
Is it an offense to devotee if we can see his mistakes, his faults, and do not try to help him, but try to overlook his faults?
It may not necessarily be an offense, but it may not be very helpful to him either. On the other hand, we have to see if we're actually competent to help others overcome their faults. It's generally recommended that first of all we try to see our own faults and try to rectify ourselves. And it's the best.